The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 107.1 FM or on your smart speaker.
Joining me for the Feel Good Hour is the wonderful Nigel Jones, best-selling author of Walking Back to Happiness, certified hypnotherapist and founder of 9 Kilometers by 9am. He helps people break habits, reset their mindset and feel more in control, even when life gets chaotic. Today, we're going to unpack Christmas anxiety. Yes, it's a thing, how it shows up in everyday life. And most importantly, what can we do about it? Stick around because you'll leave this next hour with a fresh perspective and some practical tools to breathe easier this festive season. How are you?
I'm really good. It's so good to be back.
It's great to have you back. I've missed you.
Did you have a nice time in America?
I had a lovely. I'm very jet lagged today, though. I'm literally surviving on fumes. But yes, I had a lovely time. Thank you. It was so good. It's so good to see you. Now, I mentioned the C word quite a while ago. Christmas is upon us.
Yes.
And it's speeding round quite quickly. Obviously, anxiety does rise around Christmas, or do we just notice it more?
Well, I think if you look at Christmas, it's on the surface, it's all sparkly, but underneath there's a huge pressure cooker. And, you know, the actual stats show, I think Mind, the charity Mind, says that 1 in 3 people in the UK say their mental health worsens around the festive period.
Yeah.
And you've got something like a 57% of people in a YouGov poll say that they find Christmas stressful. So yeah, it is a stressful time. And that's driven by a number of things. You know, the spike, I guess, comes from money, which is a big one. Yeah. Rising costs of gifts, food, heating, travel. Mm.
Time with family.
Yeah, relationships, family tensions, everyone together. Yeah. They're not, you know, Christmas is the time when everyone gets together. There's the social overload as well, like school plays, endless events, work parties, shopping trips, loads and loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, you know, let's not forget grief and loneliness as well.
Yeah, you know, for some it's the first Christmas without a loved one, or they might not have anyone around to keep them company over the festive period. Mm. So yeah, there's so many things that can cause the anxiety. But why does it affect us so differently at Christmas? What is it about Christmas that ramps up the anxiety?
I think everyone's different. And so, you know, we all come at this from a different approach. But, you know, if you actually take different types of people, like perfectionists, for example, you know, they'll feel the need just to make everything just right.
Yeah.
And that can be very, very stressful for a perfectionist.
Yeah.
You know, the decorations, the meals, the presents, everything has to be, you know, just right.
Yeah.
Then you've got the people pleasers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just can't say no. So it's like, you know, they get overwhelmed with all the obligations that are just laid out in front of them. And they just create these huge lists of things to do.
Yeah.
Then you've got introverts who find social occasions, I guess, quite draining.
Mm.
And that can be a lot for them to bear. And people with past traumas, you know, Christmas can be a huge trigger. Neurodivergent individuals as well. I mean, you know, it can be quite a lot very overwhelming for people with ADHD, et cetera. So, you know, at the end of the day, one person's joy is another's anxiety. But it's a mix out there. Everyone has a different take on it.
And I think for me is not having judgment on how other people celebrate their festive time. Now, some people quite like the fact that they don't do anything and that it isn't different for them and that they are having some quiet time because they've got a bit of time off work. You know, some people are, you know, some industries still shut down over Christmas. And I think also if you've also got this family that are buying oodles of presents and uploading it onto social media and, you know, don't judge that either. That's how they do it. But I think you've just got to do you.
Yeah.
Do what you think's right.
Yeah, and you know, the early warning signs to look out for are things like, you know, from a physical perspective, it could be like a tight chest or a headache or disrupted sleep or jaw clenching. There's a few physical things can happen to you in these stressful times. There are emotional flags as well, like you could be, you know, there's tearfulness and irritability and behavioural changes like sort of obsessive list making and stuff like that.
I love a list. Although at Christmas, my list has become very different. My children are older. You know, I've got my wonderful stepson, Freddie. He's 12.
Yeah.
So our house is very different now at Christmas. And we've kind of evolved that. And the kids are like, Mum, we don't need presents. We just want to have a nice dinner with you. And, you know, so things have definitely changed for us at Christmas. And I think it does over time. Although some people still, with adult children, go for it and go crazy.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, I was a single mum for many years and Christmas was very basic for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they learned then that actually it was the fun we had, the games and the Christmas
TV. This is it, yeah.
The little things, like just walking around the neighbourhood looking at all the lights.
Yeah.
Little things like that that made it special without having to put loads of bows and ribbons on stuff.
Yeah, and you know the thing from a life coaching perspective, there's three things going on here. There's the things that go wrong or that make us get anxious about Christmas are focusing on what I call like the things we don't have or the lack in our lives.
Yeah.
And obviously, like in an Instagram world, it's quite easy to do that when you sort of see what everybody else is doing. So the actual antidote to that is focus on the stuff that you have. You know, and that's, you know, your children, your loved ones, and that's the thing to focus on, not what you don't have. And that's a great, great cure.
Yeah.
The other thing, the second one is be more present and, you know, just get into the moment as opposed to like worrying about what the meal's going to be like or what the future's going to be like or, you know, anguishing over the past. So focus on the present.
Yeah.
And then also just Take into account, the only thing you need to sort of focus on is really what you can control.
Yeah.
So if something is outside your control, which most things are, don't worry about it because you can't control it.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, the things you can control are your thoughts.
Yeah.
And if you can control them, you'll have a great Christmas.
Think about the present, not the presents.
Exactly. Love it.
I know, right? I'm not just a pretty face. you know, for me, a couple of years ago, I forgot to buy a Christmas pudding.
Right.
And I now make sure, not in an anxiety way, but I make sure I get a couple now.
Okay.
And put them in the cupboard. Because Jay will be listening. He was mortified that I forgot the Christmas pudding that day. And I didn't notice it until we'd eaten our dinner. And I was like,
so have you got this year's Christmas pudding?
I've got a Christmas pudding in the cupboard
already. Okay, good.
But, you know, sitting there waiting, you know, but I might forget the cream this year or the custard, who knows? But at least I've got the pudding. Nigel Jones is with me for the Feel Good Hour and we are talking about Christmas anxiety. How can planning reduce anxiety without turning us into complete control freaks?
There's a good tip I can give listeners. It's called the 3-2-1 rule.
Okay.
So nice and easy to remember. So set three priorities per week.
Okay.
And so that can be things like, right, this week I'm going to buy gifts, I'm going to send cards, I'm going to book the food shop.
Yeah.
Don't do any more than that. Just three. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's an old saying, if you've got more than three priorities, you don't have any priorities.
No, it's too many.
Yeah, because it can't be a priority.
No. How would you break down what is more important?
Exactly. So three priorities.
Okay.
Two, non-negotiables per day. So that's per day. The first one was three per week, the two per day. And that's like, I'm going to go for a walk today, or I'm going to eat a proper meal, I'm not going to eat fast food. But just make those non-negotiable, and you're going to do them every day.
Okay.
Right, so this will help you if you do have any anxious thoughts about Christmas. Mm-hmm. And one, have a personal reset. One personal reset. And that might be, you know, each day you're going to have a cup of tea at 4 o'clock. Take 15 minutes out and just enjoy that tea, nothing else.
Yeah.
Or you're going to listen to a podcast, or you're going to do a 10-minute stretch.
Yeah.
But literally but that's like one personal reset you do every day.
Yeah.
So 3-2-1 rule.
I love that rule.
It really works. Honestly, it really works. And I'd also say, you know, some other tips, delegate where you can.
Yeah.
You know, so kids can help. You schedule nothing time, which is actually try doing nothing. It's quite difficult to do nothing.
It's very difficult for me to do nothing.
It's really nice just to have 10 minutes of nothing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is expect disruptions to happen. They're going to happen. So don't be shocked when it happens.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, oh, right, expect it's going to happen. Yeah. And you'll be able to deal with it
yeah.
in a much easier way.
Absolutely. Now, Christmas for children.
Yes.
You know, we obviously think, oh, it's going to be a really, really fun time for them. And they get super excited. But yeah. they too can suffer. They have yeah. to do nativities. They've got to read lines. They've got to do this, that and the other.
Yeah.
They have the expectation of making sure they go to bed and all of this. And actually, some children find it a bit strange that someone's going to come into their house
yeah.
and drop off presents. So you've got all of these different things. And some of them manage it really well.
Yeah.
And some of them don't. How can we help children with their Christmas anxiety and overwhelm?
I think a good thing to do, first of all, is look for the signs of anxiety in children.
Mm.
And sometimes it's really obvious, but just sort of talking about it, you can see it. So there could be meltdowns over small things. All of a sudden, you know, it's behavior that they don't normally show.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, they've just gone crazy over something tiny. There might be trouble going to sleep or restless nights. They might want to start avoiding activities.
Yeah.
So, you know, they sound obvious, but if it's out of character, then there's some form of like underlying reason for this.
Yeah.
They might get withdrawn or clingy. Especially if they're younger.
Yeah.
So, but what can we do? I mean, the simple thing to do is like, you know, use simple language to them. So let them know what's coming, you know, and you know what's happening over Christmas. Mm. Just talk to them in real simple terms.
Take the pressure off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and just do predictable routines. You know, have like, you know, a bedtime story, favorite breakfast. You know, so just keep everything predictable around Christmas.
Yeah.
Don't make it like a shock surprise, like oh, this is a different time of the year.
Yeah.
And I you know, with our kids, we used to have like a quiet corner, so you could just go and sit in there and just take some time out.
Definitely needed.
Yeah,
you know, for kids, they start practicing. I've worked in schools. Now we used to start practicing nativities and things like that, like, you know, mid October.
Mm.
You know, that's a long time for kids to be in that Christmas bubble.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Christmas Day is like 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and like we encourage them to you know, get up early and all that kind of stuff and eat chocolate for breakfast. I'm just going through past experiences, I'm not saying.
Now, you mentioned presents earlier on, not presents.
Yeah.
I really love that. And I think that's definitely something listeners could do with children.
Yeah.
So it's all about, you know, and I think kids remember how they felt, not what present they got.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. Because when you look back on it years later, you know, it's that feeling you had around Christmas. So great line earlier
it's
on.
It's the dad jokes at the table when you do the crackers. It's the sitting watching the Queen's speech all together. It's having time playing games and building Lego that ordinarily as parents, we're super busy.
Yeah.
So we very rarely get that time. Those are the moments that the children will remember most, not what they're opening.
No, and also remember that kids model. And by that, they look at you as a role model.
Yeah.
And so you know, the younger they are, the more blank their canvas is. And so if you're running around like a headless chicken, they're going to associate that with that's the way to act at Christmas.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all that's going to happen there is 20 years down the line is they're going to be a parent like that to their children.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, this is something that the subject we're just going to briefly touch on, alcohol over Christmas.
Yeah.
For those that are non-drinkers, you know, it can be quite stressful because they've got to, you know, we're you know, providing food and drink and social activities and parties. So you've got that anxiousness about going, oh, I don't drink, or, you know, I'll just have a mocktail, please.
Yeah.
Also, how can we be more kinder to ourselves, you know, and ditch that guilt over Christmas?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, alcohol is a depressant. There's no getting around that. It's not good for you. And we feel pressured into drinking more at Christmas time because it's more readily available. It's almost like a license to go and get drunk.
Yeah.
With office parties and get-togethers with friends, family and stuff. Well, what I would say is, you know, basically prepare yourself. So have a line ready of what you're going to say if someone says, oh, why aren't you drinking?
Yeah.
And it could be, you know, you're doing dry December or you just want to fancy a break. You want to remember it and be more present with the kids. Because the reality is that if you don't drink, you definitely are going to be more in the present zone.
Absolutely.
These days, there are so many great beers and options. Without saying any brand names, there's lots of beer zeros, there's lots of wine zeros,
cider
out there,
zeros.
And have a glass of that with Christmas dinner, or have a zero beer in the evening, so you're gonna wake up without a hangover, which is a great thing. And then track all the benefits. If you're not drinking, you're gonna sleep better, you're gonna have fewer regrets, you're gonna have more energy. And there's lots of resources out there as well. I mean, as you know, I do a lot of work with Alcohol Change UK, the leading charity in the UK for alcohol harm or promoting the harm that alcohol causes. And they have a great app. They run Dry January.
Yeah.
And so you can download their app called Try Dry. And they also have like a cutting back challenge as well. So it's not only the Dry January challenge. There's a cutting back challenge, which if you want to cut down your alcohol intake this Christmas or whenever, you just go to their website. And it's brilliant because you get a daily email, and you're in a group with other people who are cutting back as well. So I'd say look, join or download an app like the Alcohol Change, or even better, or just as good, you could buy my book.
Have it wrapped under the tree with a really nice ribbon around it for a present.
Yeah, and do you know what? I actually stopped drinking on December the 8th. So I did my first month of alcohol freedom
over Christmas.
Yeah, okay. And do you know what? It was this is my sixth alcohol free December coming up.
Wow.
And it is just so good that you just remember everything. The stress and the all the anxiety will just go. It gets less. I'm not saying this is the cure for it, but it definitely turns it down. If it was like at 8, you're going to turn the volume on that down to like 3.
I had one alcoholic drink on holiday.
And what was the holiday like?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I had one baby Guinness with my mum and dad and Jay on the last night.
Yeah.
Because they're nice. They taste great. But we just had one. And, you know, I had my whole holiday without any alcohol, really.
Yeah.
And it was great. Even even Jay didn't really have anything. And it just didn't make any difference other than the fact that I was more present in my holiday. And I didn't have a hangover and I didn't feel groggy.
The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford, in on 7th and 1 FM or on your smart speaker.
Nigel. What is a quick tool to calm any anxiety in the moment at Christmas? So when you're in the kitchen, the turkey's got a burnt bum, your Brussels sprouts are going too soft, grandma's lost her teeth, and the dog's eaten the presents. You know, what in that moment can we do to help ourselves?
Okay, an easy thing to do and to remember easily is the word stop.
Yeah.
And so the S stands for stop what you're doing. So take a step back.
Yeah.
T, take a breath.
Yeah.
Nice deep breath.
Yeah.
O, observe how you feel. Take a step outside your body and look back at yourself. You know, how am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? Yeah. P, proceed with intention.
Yeah.
So stop. Nice and easy.
Have a minute.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing to do, just stop and take a long breath. Just sort of inhale for 4, exhale for 6. And then do that 5 times.
Yeah.
You'll find that you control yourself. You control your breathing. You control your emotions.
That's why we say take a breath.
Yeah.
And we're in a stressful situation because it just helps so much.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, there's other things. I mean, the easiest ones to do, people can remember, are things like, you know, the word stop. Or you could use the 5-4-3-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, name 5 things you see around you immediately. So this is like to change your state.
Yeah.
4 things you can touch. 3 things you can hear. 2 things you can smell. 1 thing you can taste.
Yeah.
So all your senses, 5-4-3-2-1.
Distract yourself slightly.
Yeah, if you go through that, you know, you've done 15 things. Your mind is now off what you were thinking about before.
I think also it doesn't matter if the dinner is later than you anticipate.
No.
It doesn't matter that you've forgotten the carrots.
No.
These things don't matter.
No, of course they don't.
So actually, if those things happen, don't worry about it. Yeah. Take the pressure off, guys. You know, I'm going to say it, the attitude of gratitude.
I love it.
It is so important. We need to think about what we're grateful for, what we have. There are people who are, less fortunate than us. And actually, we're having all these people in our house with us at this time, having wonderful food on our table, having gifts. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But do it mindfully. Don't stress yourselves out.
The attitude of gratitude. I love that. that goes with the presence of presence early
on. I'm on a roll today.
It's brilliant.
You're so
right. I mean, literally focus on what you have, not what you don't have.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's the main thing.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's completely powerful. It's amazing.
And I think also Christmas can be quite tricky for family situations. You know, Uncle John's come round. He always acts up. One of the kids always cheats at Monopoly and it ends up in a big row. Do you know what? There are pressures.
You know,
we've also got that, like you said earlier on, about navigating grief. You know, it might be a first Christmas that someone is missing a loved one or someone's maybe away from them, you know, in a different, working away or whatever. How can we navigate those situations?
Well, I mean, let's take the first one, the tricky family situations. Mm. So there's a few things you can do. I mean, the easiest thing to do is like set boundaries. Yeah. So let's say you're going to a relative's house, which you only go to once a year. Mm. And maybe say, right, well, the boundary is we're going for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that's it. You set the time and you stick to it.
Yeah.
So that boundary is really important. So you know how long you're going to be there.
Yeah.
You could write some pre-script so you know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
So rather than get into an argument, maybe you say, well, let's agree to disagree. Mm. Or I'm not discussing that today.
Yeah.
So you're prepared for potentially volatile situation. Mm. So definitely do that.
Yeah,
so boundaries, scripts. And I think lastly, plan breaks, you know, take a walk, go for a walk, if you're feeling a bit, anxious, or go out and do something else, do the washing up or step outside, just take a break. So that's what I would do, say, with family. And I think with the anxiety from feeling alone, you're not the only one. I mean, there are so many people, on by themselves at Christmas time. And one of the easiest things to do is reach out to a group.
Yeah.
Or a friend or a community group. Mm. Do you know what? Which I find really rewarding is volunteering at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful way to feel connected and mix with other people.
And I think we have to be mindful. If we know people that are on their own, we should reach out to them.
Yes.
Even if they particularly maybe said, oh, no, I'm fine. Hmm. A text, a phone call, a Christmas card. You know, that's all it takes. Maybe pop him around a couple of mince pies and just say, hope you're okay.
Yeah.
Just something. I think we also need to be more mindful of that. I think also, and this is going to sound quite harsh right now, but I'm in that kind of era that if I know that I'm going to put myself in a situation that's going to make me really anxious and sad, I'm not going to put myself in it. There's nothing saying that you have to do these things, these traditions that have been in the family for years. It's not always the right thing for you.
Completely.
So if you don't want to go,
don't go. Yeah.
Make your own traditions. Start your own, just honestly, it's not worth it. Because sometimes it can be really, really, really harmful.
Yeah, and just keep in mind that Christmas doesn't have to look like an advertisement. Yeah,
it doesn't.
It's you control it.
Yeah. If you've only got two days off over Christmas and you work really hard before and after, you've got 2 days to rest.
Yeah.
Why do you want to go and make it crazy for yourself when you need to put your feet up?
Yeah.
So just be really thoughtful about it. You know, you might have done something for 30 years and always dread it with pure dread and wish you hadn't gone and always go home and go, oh, I wish I'd never gone. Don't go!
Yeah.
That sounds really harsh, but I'm a big believer in choosing those battles over your happiness.
And that's setting a boundary. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah, I think so. Now, this is a big one, I think, with the modern age, Christmas comparison syndrome.
Yeah.
Now, what does it look like and how can we stop it?
Right. So Christmas is comparison syndrome is like when you look at Christmas as being on steroids. It's like, you look at your Instagram scroll and it's full of fairy lit staircases, picture perfect kids, Families in matching pyjamas is a good one.
I do love a matching PJ, but I'm not going to lie. I've been trying to get Jay in them for years.
But you know, these highlight reels that people put out there become like sort of sticks to beat yourself with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to realise that people have spent a lot of time on that, sort of getting the lighting right. And it's not natural.
No.
Maybe one or two are, but that's a bit unusual. Yeah. You know, it's sort of... Yeah. So the comparison syndrome is starting to... look at others and say things like, everyone else has it together, why don't I? I should be happier, more grateful, more successful. It's comparing yourself to others. Mm. And, you know, my life isn't Instagram ready, you know.
No.
It's like,
yeah.
I mean, and that's the issue with it.
100%.
So it's like, it's basically a comparison thing. So what do you do? We talked about a lot about this before. It's literally reframe it, you know. So, you know, if they're posting a moment, not a reality.
Yeah.
And you've got to sort of keep that in mind, that this isn't real. Mm. And I think also restrict the time you're scrolling on these phones, because if you're just feeding yourself with these reels, then you're just stoking it all up. You're going to make yourself worse.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, what you did earlier on, you said earlier on, two of them really, you know, attitude is gratitude, or the gratitude of attitude.
Yeah.
You know, think of three good things that have happened to you today.
Yeah.
Write them down. And then, you know, over a 10-day Christmas, you've got 30 good things or things you're grateful for.
Absolutely.
Start flooding your body and your mind with things that you're grateful for, and you'll get, you know, a really good dose of gratitude. And the great line here is, you cannot be anxious when you're feeling gratitude.
Yeah.
You can't be angry or fearful when you're feeling gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so pump yourself full of gratitude by thinking of just simply three good things.
And I think also, you know, with the whole social media thing, you know, if you are a mum or dad who are at home and you're looking through the scrolling through and you see this picture perfect front room with hundreds of presents. I know some, you know, there are them that literally go crazy, and you're sitting there going, wow, you know, that's just post something that's real.
Yeah.
Be real. Post what your Christmas looks like.
Yeah.
You know. And you'll be really surprised about how much positivity you'll get from being more real about what Christmas is like for you. There are so many people that are looking at these reels going, oh, look at that. That looks amazing. And how can I do that? Why can't I do that? What if I do that? You know, don't. Just be real.
Yeah, and keep in mind that the people who are posting those things are probably suffering from quite high anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but the need to do that.
Or they're getting paid for the privilege.
Or they're getting
these
paid.
Influencers, you know, they're getting paid for these posts. So please, if you're going to post real stuff.
Yes. So we're looking forward to a few posts from you.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be tucked up with our matching pyjamas, including the dog, eating a takeaway curry, because that's what we're doing this year. Now, how can we make the most of Christmas? You know, practical ways to boost joy and connection. And what's one small practical action listeners can try this week?
There's so many things you can do, but let's pick a few, right? So why not write a joy menu?
Yeah, oh, I love this.
So write down four or five small things that reliably lift you. So this could be like a sunrise walk, a favorite film, a board game, carols, and just schedule two of these in. You know, this week, just stick them in. So you've got that joy menu, which you're going to go to and live in that.
You could tie that in with the advent as well, couldn't you?
You
could do that and like run a nice bath. Today I am going to have a soak in the bath with a pumpkin spice bath.
Yeah, a joy list advent calendar. Yeah,
the joy menu. I've just written it in my diary. Thanks for that, Nigel.
Yeah, so literally loads of things. Let's have a think for some other stuff. You could literally set some screen time boundaries that we've talked about. You know, literally one of the biggest challenges is literally, you know, people are using their mobile phones too much.
Do a mixology night. Make some non-alcoholic cocktails.
Yeah.
You know, get in the kitchen, do some pickled eggs and pickled onions.
Yeah.
Make some Christmas chutney.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And make, you know, other things like, you know, one of the biggest stresses is like buying the right gift for someone and stressing out over that.
Yeah.
And the reality is people prefer experiences than something you wrap up.
Oh, handmade.
Yeah.
People like stuff that people have made an effort.
Yeah. I mean, you could have something like, you know, a cinema IOU or a winter picnic or something really simple. Like, you know, I'll take you on a winter picnic.
Yeah. Lovely.
That's your Christmas present.
A turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm all over it.
So I think the joy menu,
it's a great idea.
Gratitude. Yeah, there's loads and loads of stuff you could do. I mean, the other thing is, like, think about the Christmas table. You could curate that in a fun way by giving someone like an action to do, or yeah. like a rather than wait for what pops out of the cracker.
Yeah,
sort of curate it yourself. Yeah. You know, so maybe like, what was your best moment of 2025 is written yes. under someone's plate, or who helped you most this
Conversation
year?
Conversation starters.
Meaningful conversations yes. which break the ice and get everyone talking yeah. and so they're really simple things, and they don't cost anything.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna play a song while I've been inspired by you. Now, Nigel, we've had a text in from the lovely Laura. She said, afternoon Sam, a very helpful listening to your show just now about Christmas. It's going to be a very difficult one for me this year, as it's the first one I've been separated from my husband, and he's taking my son to his family for most of the day. So thank you for the tips and mental health advice you guys are discussing,
Laura. Oh, that's very good. I hear you, Laura, yeah.
I've been there, Laura, and it is incredibly weird. It's difficult, but also very weird because it's very quiet. And I literally would just do a really good self-care day.
Yeah.
You know, and all I say to myself, or would say to myself, it's just a day.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm fortunate that I've had him, you know, Christmas Eve. I've done everything within Christmas Eve. I've got him Boxing Day. It's just a day. And actually, I'm going to look after myself today. So I'm glad that it's been really helpful for you. You know, Nigel and I really hope that people take on some of our, you know, advice and stuff like that. But it's just a day, my darling, and you will enjoy it for you. Spend some time looking after yourself. Now, can you share any micro rituals that turn stress into meaning? Maybe some 2-minute happiness boosters.
Yeah, sure. So a really easy one is to get a bowl of warm water.
Yeah.
Just put your hands in it for about 20 seconds, maybe a minute. Say a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Just hands under the warm water. And this sends a signal of safety to your nervous system.
Yeah.
So it can really, really calm you quite quickly.
And off air, I said, what about if it's snowing? You could stand outside with no shoes and socks on into the snow.
With your curry.
With my chicken tikka masala, which I cannot wait to do Christmas Day. And that will shock you into going, oh, you know, but you're also grounding at the same time.
Yeah, connection. Completely. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the planet's a big electrical ball. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, if you take your shoes off, you connect. You're an electrical yeah, person I as am. Well. You see,
it's hot in here today.
It is. It is.
But I think, like I've just said, it's just a day.
Yeah.
One day out of 365 where the pressure is always on, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to be non-judgmental. We need to be supportive. We need to be open-minded and kindful.
Yeah.
Kindful. I like that too. That's kind and mindful at the same time.
It is.
Kindful. So I think, you know, getting a copy of your book would be really helpful for anyone over Christmas.
Yeah.
It'd be a nice gift under the tree, Walking Back to Happiness.
Yeah, and there's over 70 workshops in there as well, things you can do yeah. to sort of de-stress.
I listened to your book when I first met you, because I'm an audio girl. And I wasn't listening to it to give up drinking, because I don't drink anyway. But I listened to it just about generally about change and how you can change yeah. things, your habits and stuff like that. And it is such a good book. When's yeah. the next one coming out?
It'll be out in 2026.
Yes!
Yeah.
Like, can't wait. Honestly, you can get it on Amazon. Walking Back to Happiness by Nigel Jones. Be a great Christmas gift for yourself, even.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. And yeah, if you want to take a break from alcohol in December or January, yeah. then it's a great read.
What's your website address so people can head over there?
It's 9km by 9am
yeah.
and .com. And I'm also that on Instagram and Facebook and yeah. TikTok and YouTube and. So, yeah, 9km by 9am, which stands for 9 kilometres before yeah. 9 o'clock in the morning.
You do every day, which
yeah.
is brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you in. What's the next Feel Good Hour about? I don't think we've talked about it yet.
I think we're doing Christmas drinks.
Drinks, dry,
yeah.
heading forward.
And that's 2 weeks' January. Time. I think it's 5th of December, yeah.
Brilliant. It
is and then after time. That, we're doing New Year's resolutions, I think,
yeah,
something along those lines.
Yeah, about? Let's yeah. not get down that
yeah,
way.
Exactly.
Smithy's been in touch, so thank you. I'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you for coming in.